Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Today we're going to continue talking about our featured book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. Well, actually, last time we talked more about that book and we summarized the plot of that book. But today we're actually going to focus on the author himself, Lewis Carroll, whose real name was the Reverend Charles Dodgson, but we're just going to refer to him by his pen name, Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, that's what we usually do. If they have a pen name, we refer to their pen name. You know, a lot of famous people, celebrities, they don't like their original name, like Tom Cruise. That's not his original name. And they change their name, and so we all refer to them by that new name when they are doing that sort of business. And Lewis Carroll is Lewis Carroll because that's the name he uses when he writes. So his profession originally was to be a minister, because his title here is Reverend. So he was a minister at some sort of Christian church, not Catholic, because their priests has to be a different kind of a Christian church.
Probably the C of E, the Church of England, I'm guessing.
Could be. So we're talking about a Brit, a British man who loved kids. And he really liked to tell his own children's stories, and he started writing them down, so it's kind of fun. We're going to hear about his background and how he actually turned this Alice's Adventures into this very, very popular classic book for kids.
Let's do it. Let's listen to today's article read in its entirety. Listen carefully. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland was written by Lewis Carroll, which was the pen name of the Reverend Charles Dodgson, a math lecturer at Oxford University. Carroll, born in 1832, had an awkward childhood. He was partially deaf and spoke with a stammer, both of which made social interaction difficult for him. However, he had a brilliant mind, though he was not actually a good student. He was so intelligent that he became a lecturer and stayed at Oxford for the rest of his life. While he was always shy around adults, Carroll loved children. He told them stories full of wonder and nonsense, which they thoroughly enjoyed. When speaking to children, he didn't stammer like he usually did. He took great pleasure in storytelling and wrote for his family's private magazine. However, it was not until a chance meeting in 1856 that writing became more than a hobby for him. That year, he got to know the three young daughters of fellow scholar Henry Liddell. Carroll accompanied the children on trips, telling them his stories. One of the girls, Alice, became the inspiration for the heroine of many of his tales. Over the following 10 years, Carroll wrote all the stories down and collected them into a single book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. The book was met with negative reception at first. Carroll, however, immediately started working on a sequel, Through the Looking Glass. Eventually, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland grew in popularity with children and adults alike. Carroll was able to retire from teaching and concentrate on writing stories and poems. The two Alice books remain his most popular works.
Let's get started. We're going to learn more about the author Lewis Carroll, a British guy who wrote this book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. So let's look at some of his background here. It says here that he wrote under the pen name Lewis Carroll, but his real name was Reverend Charles Dodgson. He was a math lecturer at Oxford University. Interesting. So he was not only a minister, he was actually an expert in math. If you're a lecturer, you're a teacher, they have different titles in England for professors and teachers than we do in the United States. We usually don't say lecturer unless they don't have a PhD, perhaps. But he taught math at the Oxford University, which is a super prestigious place. So he was very, very talented, this man.
That's right. He was a math lecturer, and he was all sorts of other stuff as well. And Carol was born in 1832. He had an awkward childhood. Awkward here can mean a couple of different things, but awkward usually means you kind of feel strange or uncertain. For example, the other day I ran into my ex-girlfriend and her now husband at the grocery store, and it was kind of an awkward situation. It was kind of uncomfortable. We didn't really know what to say to each other. It was kind of strange as an example here. And so here, awkward means it was kind of unusual, and maybe he felt like he was an outsider or he was unusual or strange, and he did have a couple of reasons for feeling like he didn't fit in.
Yeah, that can be really uncomfortable. So he was partially deaf, not completely deaf. He could hear a little bit, spoke with a stammer. A stammer is when someone can't speak fluidly, I would say. And they struggle to say some words. I was just on tour with a kid who stutters. We also say that he stutters. But the noun for him is you have a stammer, but the verb is he stutters. And it must be really difficult to express yourself. They can't form some of the consonants sometimes, so they'll go, they can't get the words out. So it can be hard to have a lot of social interaction with people who aren't patient enough to wait for you to form the words that you need to say. But some of these people who stammer have really interesting things going on in their minds, so it's worth waiting for.
True, and also I should say that, my goodness, if you speak with a stammer, you are probably bullied endlessly as you're growing up, so my heart goes out to those poor kids. They can't help it, of course, but he spoke with a stammer here, and he was also partially deaf. He couldn't hear as well as other people. He wasn't totally deaf, just partially, and of course, as a result, that made social interaction difficult for him. Interaction is when things happen between two or more things. A conversation is an interaction between two or more people. So social interaction here just refers to talking to other people, greeting them, exchanging information. This was difficult for him, as you might understand, because he was partially deaf and he spoke with a stammer. And as you said, other people probably did not have the patience to wait for him to finish a sentence.
Yeah, I found for me, listening to this kid that stuttered, I had to tell myself, wait, because you want to fill in the words that they're trying to say, but you just need to wait for them. He was actually not a good student, but he was very smart. They say here that he had a brilliant mind. If you're brilliant, you're really quite intelligent, very clever. But just because you're brilliant or you have a great mind doesn't mean you're a good student. Being a good student requires different things. It requires someone who listens carefully, does the assignments. A good student would be someone who gets good grades. That's how we judge that, not just on who's the smartest person. But he was so intelligent that he became a lecturer or a teacher at Oxford and stayed there for the rest of his life. You have to be very, very gifted, very talented to be a teacher at Oxford University.
Indeed, and I've heard of various cases here and there of people not actually having the degree, but being smart enough that they actually got a job at a major university. I knew a guy who was teaching English at Harvard, even though he didn't have the proper degree for that, but he was such a good teacher, he got the job anyway. But I think that's the exception and not the rule.
Now, while he was shy around adults, he really loved children. So he was very uncomfortable around adults. If you're shy, it's very hard for you to talk in a group of people. You just tend to be quiet. There are people who are quiet but who aren't shy. But if you're shy, you're almost afraid to talk to people. My mom was shy. My dad's not. My mom was shy. And it was always hard for her to talk to people she didn't know, especially. But he was shy around adults. but he felt pretty comfortable around kids. He loved kids. He told them stories full of wonder and nonsense. I can see why kids would like him. Kids love to hear stories that have a lot of imagination in them. And you have to admit, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland have a lot of creativity and imagination. They're also kind of filled with nonsense. Nonsense is stuff that just doesn't make any sense. Look at the word. Non means no, and then sense means logical. So this word actually means no logic. So they don't make any sense. But kids love that sort of thing. And it says here, the kids thoroughly enjoyed his stories. Thoroughly means completely. I thoroughly enjoy most of the foods in Taiwan. The food here is great. I thoroughly enjoy working with Tom here at AMC.
Oh, me too. I enjoy working with me too. But yes, indeed, I can't agree with you, though. I don't thoroughly enjoy all the food in Taiwan. I still haven't developed a taste for chou tofu or pig's blood soup and stuff like that. It's still kind of strange to me. But, hey, these kids just loved his stories. They were so full of wonder, imagination, and especially nonsense. Mm. I like nonsense myself.
Sometimes, I know you do.
Sometimes the world makes too much sense. We have to sort of use our imagination and think of dumb things. Well, when speaking to children, he didn't stammer like he usually did. We talked about that before, that he did speak with a stammer. He couldn't get his sentences out.
Mm.
That's a speech impediment. We often call it that. And, be nice to people who have that problem. They don't mean it, you know. And he didn't stammer when he was around kids. That reminds me of a friend of mine who actually had Tourette syndrome. And when he was a radio announcer, he wouldn't have his tics. But that's another story.
Well, and this kid that I knew on tour this summer, he was a terrific singer, but as soon as they start to sing, everything worked for him. But
yeah, it's kind of weird.
You often hear that. If it's in a rhythm, they can talk smoothly, speak smoothly.
Okay, so in any case here, he liked those kids, and he took great pleasure in storytelling, which, of course, is when you tell stories,
yeah.
The art of storytelling. And he wrote for his family's private magazine. I guess families back then could publish their own magazine that they would publish and distribute to all the uncles and aunts and cousins and second cousins twice removed and stuff like that. However, it was not until a chance meeting in 1856 that writing became more than a hobby for him. We'll talk about that chance meeting in a second.
Chance here just means accidental. It wasn't scheduled or planned. Yeah.
Indeed, and we will talk about that chance meeting just in a second here, but let's move on and first listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天为各位介绍的是 Unit 15第二天的文学单元 ，Lewis Carroll's World of Wonders， 路易斯·卡洛尔的梦游仙境。第一段说明作者的童年过得并不顺遂，他的听力不好，说话又会口疾。好在他绝顶聪明，后来成为哈佛大学的讲师。文章第一段的第三句说 ：“He was partially deaf and spoke with a stammer, both of which made social interaction difficult for him。”他部分失聪，而且讲话口疾，这两者使得社交互动对他来说是困难的。其中 ，both of which 的用法属于关系代名词，当中的 which 指的就是 partially deaf。部分耳聋以及 spoke with a stammer 说话口疾，为了强调两者，故使用 both 当代名词，形成 both of which。在此不可用 both of them， 因为 them 不是连接词，无法连接两个句子，所以用关系代名词 which， 同时具有连接词和代名词的功用。
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. So we're back, guys. Let's take a look. We're going to continue learning more about Lewis Carroll and his life growing up. It sounds to me like perhaps his family had some money because his family had their own private magazine.
Yeah.
It also sounds like he came from people who were pretty educated, pretty intelligent. We know he was very smart. He was brilliant. Now, he had a chance meeting with someone in 1856, and that chance meeting led to him turning his writing hobby into a career. So earlier, it had just been sort of for fun. If you do something for fun, it's a hobby. Maybe you don't do it for money. It's just something you do when you're not making a living, right? But this chance meeting, this accidental meeting in 1856, changed his life.
Indeed. So I guess he met another scholar here. It says that year he got to know the three young daughters of fellow scholar Henry Liddell. So this is a fellow scholar, which means he's also a scholar like Lewis Carroll here. A scholar is somebody who studies a lot of stuff. They've got all the advanced degrees. Maybe they do research, and especially they're probably a professor in some university somewhere, a scholar. And they write scholarly papers and have them published, and they give speeches all over the world, and they're big hotshot intellectuals.
Well, you know, I always thought that Lewis Carroll had written Alice's Adventures in Wonderland for his own daughter, but it's not true. He actually wrote them for this girl who was one of the daughters of Henry Liddell. So one of the girls was named Alice, and she became his inspiration for the heroine of many of his tales. If you're someone's inspiration, you're something that motivates them to write something, especially something that's artistic, right? If they write a poem or a song and they say you're their inspiration, there's something about you that makes them feel especially creative, you could say. Now, we know the word hero is someone who's very courageous and does heroic things. Well, a hero, that word, is meant for a guy, a male. If you've got a woman who's a hero, we call her a heroine. And it's pronounced a little bit differently. You'd think it was heroine, but it's heroine, hair, like the hair on your head, heroine. So Alice became his inspiration for the heroine of many of his tales, the person who was the primary figure or character in some of his stories.
And the good guy, basically, yeah. Or as in this case, the good girl. And so Alice was kind of the main character in a lot of his stories, in a lot of his tales. Now, over the following 10 years, Carroll wrote all the stories down and collected them into a single book entitled Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. So up until this point, he just kind of told stories as a hobby. He wasn't a serious writer. He was still a lecturer at Oxford. That's how he made his living. And so he decided to write those stories down, and he thought, what the heck? I'll put them all together into a single book. Maybe I can submit it to a publisher. Maybe they'll publish it, and maybe people can buy it. What's the difference? I'm making a living as a lecturer. It doesn't really matter. But in any case, that's what happened. The book was published.
Now, it says here the book was met with negative reception at first. If you are met with something, that's the reaction you get. And we'll often use this passive sentence structure to talk about, you know, how something was received. Oh, the book was received, well received. Or my visit was well received. People were happy that I was there. Or the movie did very well with the critics. Well, the book was met with negative reception at first. So it sounds like the critics didn't like the book. They didn't receive the book very well. Here we're using the word reception as the noun form of the verb to receive. So that's kind of disappointing for a new author, of course.
Right, but that's not unusual. Oftentimes when you first publish your book, like I should know, it's met with negative reception. People don't like it.
You mean you haven't written many books already?
Yeah, I've only written about 20 or 30, you know.
Of course,
my first novel was, you know, panned by the critics. Now, of course, I've never published anything. But Carroll, however, immediately started working on a sequel. through the looking glass. So I guess he wasn't affected by the negative reception here. What the heck? I didn't really want to publish it in the first place. I'm not expecting to make a living from this. So if the critics don't like this book,
who cares? Yeah.
So he said, I'm going to write another book here. And he immediately did it. Immediately means right away without delay.
That's right. So this next book, the sequel, a sequel is something that follows the original. So, for example, Harry Potter has, what, six sequels, I think. So we
have seven.
Seven altogether, of in that series of books. Well, Through the Looking Glass came second, and eventually Alice's Wonderland Tales, we're going to call them Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, they started to grow in popularity. Okay, at first they weren't very popular, but then after time passed, they became more and more popular, you could say, with the children and adults alike, with both of these groups. Carol was able to retire from teaching at that point and concentrate on writing stories and poems. So it sounds like he kept on working as a lecturer until he became more successful and his books were selling more. And he was able to quit teaching and just focus or concentrate on writing stories and poems. Probably what he wanted to do the most, right? Plus, being a lecturer is tough because you have to stand and sometimes your students aren't very good. You have to grade papers. It's nice just to stay at home and write.
Teaching can be a very exhausting profession.
Yeah.
So I guess if you can just stay home all day and write and go for a walk in the afternoon or something, and do some other stuff with your friends, that would probably be something you'd like more than being a lecturer at Oxford. So, yes, because these books grew in popularity, they got more and more popular, he was able to retire from teaching, which means he didn't have to do it anymore. You can retire from your job, for example, when you reach the age of, what, 60 now, 65 or whatever, and concentrate. It means to focus only on that thing. You need to concentrate sometimes if you're studying English. And he put all his effort on writing stories and poems. I don't know what any of his poems are, but I guess he's got some other works as well. Not just these two we've mentioned, but I think there was another one called Jabberwocky or something like that. And there's another book there that I can't remember.
Oh, so he continued to write, something he enjoyed doing. I'm curious if he ever got married.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he didn't have any kids, but it makes me curious enough that I'm going to go look this man up when we finish and find out a little more. I like to know about the authors when I read pieces of fiction especially. So, guys, right now we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to wrap this up.
接着看到第二段，这段说明尽管他平时与人互动偏于内向，但他乐于和孩子们交流，讲各种有趣的故事给他们听。我们看到第二段最后一句 ，However, it was not until a chance meeting in 1856 that writing became more than a hobby for him. 然而，直到西元1856年的一次偶遇，写作对他来说才变成不只是兴趣而已。本句的句型 it was not 点点 that 点点点，表示直到如何如何才如何如何。例如 ，It was not until it rained did I find out that I forgot to bring my umbrella。直到下雨了，我才发现我忘了带伞。而本句中的 more than 是一个常见的片语 ，more than 加名词或名词片语，表不只是、不仅仅、超过的意思。例如 ，Nancy loves her dog more than a pet. She treats it as a family member. 南希对她的狗不仅仅是宠物之爱，她把它视为家人。第三段说明作者是如何因缘际会得到《爱丽丝梦游仙境》这本书的题材和灵感。我们看到本段的第二句 ，Carol accompanied the children on trips, telling them his stories.卡洛尔陪着这些孩子出游，跟他们讲他的故事。其中的 accompany 是陪伴的意思，它是直接接受词，不需用介系词。所以陪伴某人就是 accompany somebody， 而不是 accompany with somebody。以下补充两个 accompany 常见的其他语义用法。第一个伴随， 例如 I bought some cakes to accompany my coffee and tea. 我买了一些蛋糕来搭配咖啡和茶。第二个，伴奏。例如 The famous pianist was accompanied on the violin by an American lady. 那位有名的钢琴家被一名美国女士以小提琴伴奏。最后我们看到第四段。本段说明爱丽丝梦游仙境这本书原本不受好评，但最终还是深受大人和小孩的喜爱。我们先看到本段的第一句， The book was met with negative reception at first. 这本书一开始遭到负面的反应。然而卡洛尔立刻开始忙着写《镜中奇缘》这本续集，其中的 reception 是欢迎、接受的意思。以下补充一些常见的衍生字。第一个 receive, R-E-C-E-I-V-E, 动词，是收到、接待的意思。例如 When Katie retires, she will receive a large pension. 当凯蒂退休后，她将会获得一笔巨额的退休金。第二个 receiver, R-E-C-E-I-V-E-R, 名词，是电话听筒的意思。例如 Tom put the phone receiver closer to his mouth because it was noisy outside. 由于外面太吵闹，汤姆把话筒拿得离靠近他嘴巴一些。第三个 receipt, R-E-C-E-I-P-T, 名词，收据、发票的意思。例如 Stores usually give customers a receipt after they buy something.商店通常在顾客买完东西后会给他们发票。最后我们看到本段的倒数第二句。Carol was able to retire from teaching and concentrate on writing stories and poems. 其中的 concentrate on 是常用的片语，是专注的意思。这里替各位补充一些同样表示专心于某事的片语。第一个 focus on, F-O-C-U-S, 例如While in senior high school, I decided to focus on my studies instead of dating girls. 读高中的时候，我决定专注于我的课业上，而不是和女生约会。第二个 ,be absorbed in, A-B-S-O-R-B-E-D. 例如 ,my kids are absorbed in that new cartoon. 我的孩子们全神贯注在那部新卡通上。第三个Immerse oneself in, I-M-M-E-R-S-E. 例如 When I immerse myself in my work, time seems to pass quickly. 当我埋首于我的工作，时间仿佛过得特别快。
That brings us to the end of our lesson for today. It's been a real pleasure having you with us. And we'll continue talking about Lewis Carroll in our next program. We'll particularly focus on the actual book, Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. We'll talk about some of the themes and ideas and why people love it so much. So please join us then. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.